us in there.
I like it. Are you doing the intro?
Sure, I can do the intro.
You're special.
Yeah, I got my special. This is the Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, undistract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down in your neck. Is it working? Can you feel it? Is it working, Jim?
I can feel it.
Yeah. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, we are here.
You don't drag the anybody but governments when you do this one. It's only
only on my show. Yeah.
Okay.
I get really obnoxious with it sometimes. Before we bury the lead, I am Jeremy. I'm here with Jim. Jesus. Yeah. How are you tonight? And we were discussing.
Who we are is not important. It's what we say that is.
Yeah. This is true. Only the ideas matter, Jim. That's right. Well, yeah. Well, I had Jim on my other show, The Seeds of Liberty, last week. And, yeah, I usually elongate those. I was good about it when you were on, but I do kind of murder it a lot of the other times. Because, well, it's my show, and I want to be obnoxious.
You can do whatever I want. It's my
exactly.
show.
Exactly. I pretty much do everything on that show. So, you know. I think I'm allowed a little artistic license there.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, what is wrong with my cat?
I don't know.
Yeah, she sounds like she's dying over there. I don't know what her problem is. Anyways, speaking of dying animals, tell me about your vet.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I had a wonderful... Well, I've had a problem with my vet for the longest time. And as somebody who's in the, you know, animal industry, you'd think I'd have this figured out by now, but I'm kind of temperamental when it comes to these things. It doesn't take me much to get irritated. It's usually the staff that does something to irritate me that I just bounce from vet to vet. But I've actually been with one for a good, actually pretty much almost my dog's entire life, which is, you know, I think going on like 7 or 8 years now. And we've had a good relationship, and I like the staff for the most part, and the doctors are really nice, and they've always been good about everything. Except one thing. My dog, unfortunately, was born in a rescue, and because of the ridiculous laws, she had to be fixed before she was given to me, even though she was only 4 months old. And when you spay a female dog at that age, there tends to be a higher risk of problems down the road, like juvenile incontinence. So my dog ended up with this, and she's been on incontinence medication since she was about 1.5 years old, because that's when we finally figured out what was going on with her. So, you know, the same medication that 10, 12 plus year old dogs go on. And so, you know, we've been battling this for years, and I've, you know, regulated and stuff. But the one problem we've always had is getting the medication from them, because since this is one of the animal only medications, because some animal medications you can get at a human pharmacy. This, unfortunately, is not usually carried there, so I have to go to the vet. And they always have a problem about getting this stuff ready. And even when I call ahead, it's never ready, and I end up having to wait and wait and wait. And last year, they told me that it was even more of a problem now, because supposedly they had now scheduled this. The FDA had scheduled this drug, because apparently people had figured out that they could use this in the production of meth as well.
Oh, fun.
So now I had to give my driver's license every time, and it definitely couldn't be super ready when I got there, because it wasn't allowed to be kept up at the counter. It had to be kept in the back under lock and key until I got there. So I've been dealing with this, and just like it always added like an extra hour to my, like half an hour to an hour to my day when I went there to pick up medication. So the last time I went there was finally the last straw, because I had talked to people ahead of time, and they had promised me that if I called ahead of time that they would take care of everything and there would be no issues. So I did. And I called ahead of time, and they promised me that they were looking at my medication. Like, it was in the jar already. They were looking at it. It was sitting on the counter in front of them. Don't worry, it's here. Get there, have to go through a quick appointment, get some blood work done for the dog, go to leave. Okay, we'll just take the medication and go. Yeah, somehow it got misplaced. 45 minutes later, I'm finally allowed to leave. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done with you folks. So I'm about to run out of the medication. I'm like, okay, I need to get her records transferred so I can, because I just got the butt blood work done, just spent $500 getting all this blood work and done and the urinalysis done. I'm not going to spend that again because she's not due for it for another 6 months. So I have to get the records from the vet. So I call him up. Oh, no, I call up a new vet and I say, listen, I wouldn't want to, you know, I'd like to bring my service. I'd like to use your services for my dog. And I have a problem with my old vet. Would it be possible for you to call up and request the records transfer? Because, you know, other vets have done that for me in the past. Oh, sure. No problem. Woman calls me back 5 minutes later. Yeah, they're not going to allow that to happen. What do you mean they're not going to? I'm like, what do you mean they're not going to allow that to happen? She said, I'm very sorry, but they said their personal policy. And she's like, and I don't really agree with it, but it's their policy that, you know, the own that you have to go deal with them directly, that we can't just, you know. She's like, because we do that for people. If somebody calls us and say they want their records transfer, as long as we have the owner's permission over the phone, we'll do it for them. So she's like, but they want you to deal with it personally. So I call up and I say, listen, I've been told I have to call up and deal with this. Okay, well, we can fax this to you. I don't have a fax machine anymore. Who the heck has a fax machine anymore? I'm like, she's like, oh, she's like,
the only people I know that have fax machines anymore is like the medical industry. Like, they're always faxing stuff. And it's just, I'm like, because for some people, old people think that it doesn't really matter. Like, the only way you could possibly sign stuff is with ink. You can't sign it digitally. But, you know, there's digital signing. I've signed things digitally.
Yeah, I have too. So, but they just gave me the runaround, and eventually I just got fed up. And then they told me that they would email me the thing. But then I had to find a way to fax it back to them, or I had to come in personally. And I'm like, listen, at this point in my day, if I come in there to see you to get my records personally, I may be leaving in handcuffs because you people have really pushed me past the limit. I'm like, I don't want to see any of you. This is insane. I just want my dog's records. Like, so it was just a whole big nightmare. And finally, the only way I could get it done is that I had to have somebody else call and request that these things get emailed to them. And she claimed that, you know, they just assumed that it was my wife, and they're just like, oh, okay, sure, no problem. So yeah, allegedly,
the drug war is terrible.
Well, yeah. Well, see, that's the larger issue about this is the fact that this drug, it's called Proin, you know, it's pheno whatever, because the usual name is for it is PPA in the industry. That's what most people call it. But you know, supposedly, it's being used in methamphetamine production. Although I spoke to three other vets today, and none of them had heard of this scheduling thing. So either most of the vets on Long Island have no idea what they're doing, or my old vet was just making this stuff up and telling me that it was scheduled and making my life more difficult. I'm not sure. I lean towards the fact that these other three vets that are smaller ones don't really follow as much of the they don't really seem to care about stuff like that, because they don't really get into heavy dosing with medications, because they're more like, you know, just fix dogs up when they you know, get into a fight or stuff like that. You know, basically like a general practitioner in the human world. But this stuff has happened before, and it's just insane. Like, the fact that the drug war continues to go on, it ends up punishing my dog now. Because people are using whatever they can to make drugs to get their high. My dog has to suffer. Like, how insane is that? Like,
yeah, well, you know, they got tired of throwing a flashbang in babies' cribs, so now they're throwing it in your dog's crib. I don't know, dogs don't have cribs. They have They have floors.
Well, they have beds.
Get off the bed.
They have a bed. They have a dog bed. My dog has a bed. She has a little bed she sleeps on next to mine. But see, this is one of these things that obviously was most, I would hope, was one of those unintended consequences. You know, all the other stuff I could see them wanting to have happen, but the affecting animals, I'm sure this was not in the plans whatsoever when they were like, this is how we're going to screw the citizenry. We're also going to stick it to their animals. I don't think they're that sadistic.
Yeah, well, on top of that, I think they probably just look at it and like, yeah, humans, one thing, but animals, whatever. No one's really going to care about this. It's just an animal, whatever. They don't care. you know, and then it just realized, like, oh, humans are being actually affected by this because they're the ones that have to pick up the medications, not the dog themselves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, the drug war is terrible.
It is. Such a cluster, you know what, and all for nothing.
And by the way, you know, it's not put a dent in the meth use at all. If anything, just put a dent in the meth use. I think the only thing the government has ever done to curb meth use is just show pictures of people on meth. Like, the only thing they've ever done that's been effective.
Yeah.
Just showing those pictures. I mean, and it's not even anything that they did. All they did was just show pictures that they took anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, that's what kind of did it for me. Like, made me not want to try a lot of different drugs, was just seeing people who have done meth in real life, just seeing what happened to them and just seeing them, like, walking around. You could just tell.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to go down that road, you know?
Yeah. See, that's funny. I've stuff like that. Like, I'd seen pictures of people on other drugs, you know, like the same thing you're talking about, never really affected me. Meth is the one, though, that when I saw pictures of people on that, I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I'll pass. I think I'm good.
Yeah. I'm happy being fat. It's not worth it. This is a diet drug I'm not willing to try.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if I really wanted a, you know, hardcore diet again, I'd go back to my Coke habit. You know, that worked really well. So I don't need to try another one for that purpose.
Well, you can always get your deep fryer back because, you know, because meth is terrible.
I do miss my deep fryer.
Yeah.
I should buy another one. One of these days I will.
Yeah, I kind of have, like, a similar problem, but it's not because of the drug. Well, I guess it sort of is. It's because, like, I like to have ADD, and I used to take a drug called Strattera. And the reason why I like taking Strattera over the other ones is because it's the only one that's not amphetamine-based. Like, all the other ones are kind of basically low-dose amphetamines, you know, mm-hmm. or different flavors of it, like Adderall, Ritalin. Mm-hmm. And seeing people going down that meth throughout, especially some people in my family, I was like, is there anything else that isn't? And they had one called Strattera. And it was great because I was getting free samples, but then it was like, oh, and when you have to pay for it, it's expensive because it's a name brand drug, and the FDA still holds the copyright for it. For Eli Lilly, and it's so expensive. And there was, like, a patent dispute for a while with India, but finally it's going to be losing its patent in 2017, so I can finally afford it. So high-dose caffeine.
Nice.
It's not going to work for me, so I don't know. We'll talk about more about it. We'll talk more about drugs when we come back. Drugs.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When this final issue, it's not good when you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, kind of collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all.
Drug fiends. No, wait, freedom fiends. So you were talking about your poor experience with the drug war and getting your dog incontinence medication and all that fun stuff, because, you know, I think they can make meth out of everything, and anything that they can make meth out of, they're gonna, like,
yeah,
all kinds of onerous regulations on, so you can't buy it. I can't even buy cold medicine. It's Sudafed. Sudafed is probably the best cold medication ever, but it's such a hassle to get. I just don't bother anymore.
Yeah.
So now I just get the cold and flu Alka-Seltzer. Man, that stuff's amazing. But anyways, I get the knockoff brand, but anyways, it's kind of hard to get, so I just don't bother anymore, and I just deal with stuffy noses every once in a while when I get the cold, because I don't want to go through all that hassle.
Yeah,
of getting Sudafed.
That's well, yeah. That was one of the that was like the first. I think the first thing that got banned, or not yeah. banned, but you know, protected. You had to like, it's like hidden behind the counter at the pharmacies now, and you gotta like, you know, it's crazy. Which, I mean, okay, yeah, and what good did it do? Absolutely nothing, because now they've moved on. Yeah. Like you said, they can pretty much use anything to make it. and again, you know, for somebody like you, or like for the human, it's one thing. Okay, yeah, it's inconvenient, and you make a choice. Okay, it's inconvenient. I'm not going to deal with it. You know, I'm not gonna bother with the hassle. But like with my dog, if I don't get her the medication, she'll just start randomly peeing in her sleep all over the house. So it's like I can't just ignore it. I'd like to be able to just ignore it, but stupid yeah. drug war.
Yeah, the drug war is awful. And, you know, and throwing people in jail doesn't solve the problem. I mean, they still sneak drugs into jails. They can't keep drugs out of jails, but you're going to try to keep drugs out of the general society. That's not going to happen. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, they still get meth just fine in there. And of course,
they get everything in there, I think.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that they don't get in there. They even brew their own alcohol in there. Bruno. Like, I don't
yeah.
know. Yeah, so.
From what I've heard.
There is a YouTube channel that I really love, and it's kind of like it spawned off of Scam School, which is like Brian Brushwood. He's like a comedian. He used to have the big spiky hair.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and he kind of teaches you how to do like these tricks or whatever to get free drinks from people at you know, from the bar by doing like magic tricks or mm-hmm. kind of generalized, you know. Yeah, you know, small scams, but basically yeah. what they are. You know, like, I bet you can't do this. So he's got a channel called The Rogue One, and on there they actually did an episode about Pruno, and they actually made Pruno. By the time it was done, they were like, we're not drinking this. We'll probably get botulism from this thing. And they said it smelled terrible, and yeah. What they ended up doing is end up just getting some baker's yeast and putting it in a thing of OJ, and they're like, okay, we'll drink this because this actually smells good now, and it's fizzy and it's it's pleasant, and they were actually enjoying it. But yeah, so I mean, if they can brew alcohol in the jail themselves, you know, in the actual jails, they're actually mm-hmm. making their own alcohol, you know, they can pretty much do almost anything, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when it's smuggling stuff in. And they can and do. So, I mean, all this drug war is all for nothing. They're not getting rehabilitated in jail. They're not getting off the drug, which is allegedly what they were supposed to be doing. Where's my app? Yeah. You know, where they're supposed to be getting off drugs. Oh, you're not going to do it now.
Soundboard fail.
There you go. But they're not. It's not happening, right? And, yeah. and all that's doing is just inconveniencing the rest of us and putting people, you know, who might want to be dibbing and dabbing and, you know, fun stuff every once in a while, but not trying to destroy their lives, you know, in jail. You know, the hard users are still walking around, you know, stealing stuff out of people's trucks. And, yeah. You know, and people like us have to deal with like, oh, we have to go through all this hassle because I have a cold. Come on, really?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and it does. It not only does it, you know, it doesn't stop people from using. It doesn't stop people from selling, because nope. You know, I mean, I had friends who were busted, and one of them, well, actually, I think they were both offered the chance to like turn and, you know, become an informant and narc on other people. One of them did, the other one didn't. You can guess which one people wanted to talk to after the fact. But they do, you know, they're constantly looking for like, you know, the bigger people, the bigger fish. But even when they get the so-called bigger fish, all that happens is like the trade is like isn't even halted. It just like slowed down for like a day as things get reorganized, and somebody else takes the place, and somebody else now has a bigger share of the market, and somebody else becomes more successful at it for a little while. So it stops absolutely nothing. I mean, well, we're gonna go to the break. I can ramble on about the drug war forever, because it just inconveniences my life constantly. Even my dog. Just stop it.
Even my dog hates it.
Seriously, man.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Drugs are bad. So did you get around to seeing your Rogue One yet? Everybody's been talking about it. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's saying it's the best thing ever, or it's okay. I don't think anybody said anything bad about it, except for Red Letter Media.
I haven't heard much negativity about it either. Although no, I haven't seen it yet. But then again, I haven't seen Force Awakens yet either, so I'm a little behind.
Wow. that is horrible that you hadn't seen that yet.
Well, you know, I was so disenfranchised by the last three movies that I was not in a rush to see the next one. And even when people started saying, oh no, it's, you know, it's much better, I was like, okay, yeah, sure, and I'll get to it. And I just haven't got, like I told you before we started the show, I have it. It's sitting on my hard drive. I just haven't got around to watching.
Legally, you have it sitting on your hard drive. Legally.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's Linux ISO.
I purchased. Right? Well, no. I you know what? I purchased.
I think it is a Linux ISO. Wink, wink. What? Shish.
No, they still sell these the DVDs with the digital copies. This is wonderful
thing. Oh yes.
My ex buys them, and then I take the digital copy and put it on my computer because it's just more convenient for me to have it there. So yeah, I have one of those, and it's wonderful. But I just haven't watched it. Yeah, haven't had. Like I said, I mean to. Which one of these days I will.
Yeah, it's really good. I have a particular co-host on my podcast who disagrees with me on that vigilantly, and I'm sorry. No, it's not a terrible movie. It's great. But everybody, I'm going to go see it tomorrow, but I'm just a little bit more stoked about what an event that I'm hosting, the Capitalismus, where everybody buys themselves Christmas presents and then opens them up and exclaims, that's what I've always wanted, which we probably might rename to Objectivism, because I think that's more of an apt thing, since we're not buying each other capital goods. But the plan is to go see that tomorrow so I can go brag about it, how I saw it and how everybody else didn't, but I think they all did. That's been what everybody's been talking about. So if we don't at least mention it, people are gonna like send hate mail. Like, how can we not talk about my new Star Wars film? So that's the reason why we're not talking about it.
But we're
still talking about it.
Yeah, there you go. It was mentioned. I don't.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm sure it's great. I don't know. I don't know why people get a little too upset about these things, though.
Yeah. Now I wanted to see the prequels, because I saw the first one in the theaters and I liked it, and then the kind of initial like rush of like, okay, we just saw the first Star Wars movies and whatever amount of time, and then you get it kind of sinks in, like, and actually it probably wasn't that good, you know, you probably just remember the pod racing scene and that was it.
Yep.
And when I saw it again, I was like, yeah, it really wasn't that good. Natalie Portman, I had a big thing about Natalie Portman. And then I saw the second one and I was like, it was so bad. I don't remember a time where I by myself, walked out of a movie theater because it was so bad. I walked out of it about halfway through, and it was when they first got together, and he was spitting out all these cheesy, like, romance lines, and I didn't bother seeing the third one. Everybody said that, like, the third one was the only one that was any good, if any. And even that's debatable. Yeah, everybody.
It was better, I guess, but that's not a hard, it's not a very, very far climb, because they were like, yeah, you're right. They were all, and what's his name? Hayden Christensen. He was god awful as Anakin. God awful pick. Horrible.
No, I disagree. You really? Can't blame. Okay, because there was a film about I think his name. It's something glass, a shattering glass or something like that. There was a film that he did, and it's a true story about this reporter. And what he was doing was he was basically inventing fake news, and they were publishing it into a major magazine. And there were always like these amazing stories. And so everybody was looking forward to them every time they came out. And then, like, one of the editors started noticing, like, what's going on here? There's, like, kind of anomalies going on. And so he started, like, investigating him, like, kind of following him and trying to see if he was making stuff up. And it turned out he was. It's a true story. And the guy was completely disgraced. The dude won, like, a whole bunch of, like, journalistic awards. And they had to, take him back.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big scandal for a while for this news. I can't remember for the life of me. But he played he was like the person that was doing all the stories, and he was a really good actor. It was really good. Everything else I've seen him in, he's been good, except for Goosebumps. But everything else he's been in, but that's Goosebumps. Everything else he's been in was pretty good.
Wasn't Jumper him too? Wasn't he in Jumper? Was that him too? That horrible movie too.
So.
Yeah, that one. Well, I don't know. I guess that was. I guess I haven't seen all the other stuff. And it, yeah. was that one? You know, much later. Because wasn't the second Star Wars like his first big break? I thought.
Well, no, he's been in like things here and there. I think maybe that shattering glass or whatever. It's gonna drive me crazy unless I. but a lot of that times you can kind of blame that on the director. Because, you know, if you don't get good directing, you can't really act. And there's scenes in the film where there's no dialogue, where he's acting fantastic. Like there's a scene where, like, you can see, like, him going through, like, a range of emotions. And he doesn't say anything. It's just a range of emotions. And it's done well. And you can tell, like, that was probably the only time that he had good directing. You know, like, an actor can only be as good as how he's directed. So, I know there's a couple of, like, decent actors that were in a particular libertarian film that's been bashed heavily on the show that we're not going to name by name because, you know, but it's a long side night. And I know that I've seen them in other stuff and they're pretty good. And then you see them in this, you're like, what is happening?
Well,
you know.
Okay, good point.
So you can't really blame. I mean, he's not the best actor. He's not, you know, he's not some crazy method actor. You know, that's absolutely fantastic. You know, he's no. Oh, I can't remember the name of life of me. The guy was in. Daniel Day-Lewis, there we go.
Oh, okay.
He's no Daniel Day-Lewis, that's for sure. But, you know, at the same time, he's not Tom Green either.
Wait a minute. Tom Green has some range, man. I mean... I watched Road Trip again the other day. It just makes me laugh in that movie.
As much as I think he's a terrible actor, and he is.
He's a horrible actor.
Yeah. Freddy Got Fingered is probably one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces of our age, for sure. It goes right up there with, like, a lot of the movies from the 1939 era. I don't think there has been any bad movie that came out in 1939. I think that all of them have been absolutely masterpieces, but it's kind of a weird year for movies, because I don't think there was a bad Wizard of Oz came out, Gone with the Wind, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, like all the great films have came out of that year. There was even a couple, like there was a Marx film, a Groucho Marx film, not
Karl Marx.
the good Marx brother.
The good Marx.
And good Marx, you know, W.C. Fields. Yeah, like it was a fantastic year for movies, but it goes right up there. Like, Fred, if you could have released it in 1939, it probably would have been a little bit too ahead of its time, but it would have been much appreciated now, for sure.
I'm going to have to rewatch that. It's been a very long time since I've watched Freddy Got Fingered. I don't think I appreciate it for the great piece of work that it is, I guess.
Yeah. And so so the name of the film is Shattered Glass, and it's a story about a guy named Stephen Glass who was an actual reporter who was whose career was completely ruined for making up fake news. So this new fake news thing isn't new, and it's not just isolated in the alternative media.
It's very much in the mainstream. It's just the alternative media, of course. Yeah. Oh yeah,
the New Republic.
Yeah. Well, yes, fake news has been going on forever. I mean, wasn't it basically like, what's his name? The advertising guy. Wasn't he an advertising guy at first? Edward Bernays, who pretty much shaped the way the media does everything these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. That was him, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and advertising too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where it started, but it kind of went. Yeah, that's all it is. So, of course, it's fake. That's why it's funny when people complain, oh, fake news. Well, is there any real news out there?
Yeah. Like when I heard for like the 8th millionth time after Fidel Castro died on CNN, he did really great wonders for literacy rates and healthcare. It's like, first of all, he didn't. The only time you ever, as far as healthcare goes, he didn't. If you go to the hospitals in Cuba, they're absolutely they're horrible. They're human rights violations. But then you have the ones for the party officials that are decent. And then you have the ones for the tourists who come in so they can show like, oh, look how great we are. And, they're actually like, but that's where they put all of their the supplies. Everywhere else, there's shortages and everybody's dying in cockroach-infested hotels where the sheets are dirty and everything's filthy and they don't clean anything.
Oh, but that's just that fake American media telling you.
Yeah,
that's just the right-wing propaganda. It's like, well,
there's documentation of it. Do you have any other arguments besides it's just right-wing propaganda? Like,
I know.
No.
It's funny that you said that though, because I've actually heard that exact argument.
No, it's not.
No. It's really bad.
You believe this without evidence. It's like, here's the evidence. But that's propaganda. But it's evidence. I don't care what your description of it is.
Everything's propaganda. Propaganda isn't inherently bad. People just use that word.
You're using left-wing propaganda to debunk it, but that's not an argument, right? Propaganda doesn't mean wrong, it just means it's propaganda.
Well, no. See, that's not the way things work now, Jim. These days, a multitude of words mean wrong. Racist just means you're wrong. Yeah. That's it. You can end a word with an argument. You can end an argument with a word, and they all mean you're wrong.
And then the other thing was the illiteracy rates. Fidel improved literacy rates. Well, that's actually true, but there's a reason why he did that, and it's not for noble. He wants children to be educated and read. No, you have to be able to read to understand Marxist philosophy, right?
Yep.
You have to be able to read Das Kapital in order to understand it. In order to read that stuff, you have to actually know how to read. So if you don't know how to read, then it's going to be hard for you for your people to understand your revolution. So that's kind of an understandable thing for him to do.
Sure.
But yeah. And then what are they allowed to read in Cuba? Not much else.
Well, exactly.
So...
Well, and that's it's the short-sightedness of these people. It's like, that's all they care about. Well, look, they know how to read. Okay, great. Let's take it a step further. Like you said, do you have any idea what they're reading? Have you ever even thought of that? No.
Because Hitler made the trains run on time. That's a wonderful argument. And then you find out where those trains went.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That minor detail.
Yeah. The cattle cars were not a fun ride.
Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
So everybody's doing this.
My non-political, unpopular opinions on face beef. You didn't do one.
I have not done one yet, no.
Okay. But I did one because I'm a trendsetter or a trend follower, whatever. So I'm going to go through my list of unpopular things, and everybody's going to hate me for this, but it's going to be wonderful, and you get to respond to it and then call me a jerk for
opinions. I have read this, and I do take issue with some of these, but yes.
Okay, so the first one is Bill Hicks was never funny. Bill Hicks has never made me laugh. Everything that I've seen from him has been completely unfunny. It's almost kind of crankery, just some crank complaining about JFK, which we'll get into later.
Right? Okay. I've laughed at Bill Hicks, but I can see where you're coming from. I am not as enamored with him as many people I know are, so I can kind of go with you on that one.
Yeah. Just never found him funny. I mean, I remember I was into George Carlin, and I don't find him funny anymore, and it's not because I don't think he's unfunny. It's just because I've heard it so many times. I'm just kind of sick of hearing him.
Yes.
That's not his fault. It's everybody else who's mm-hmm. bandwagoning him so hard.
Sure.
He is a funny guy, or he was a funny guy.
Yes.
And then someone showed me like a tape, like, watch this. This is Bill Hicks. If you love Carlin, you'll love him. And I was like, I don't. I turned it off halfway. I was like, this is not funny. I'm not laughing. But I was trying to like it. I was giving him a fair shot. The Matrix is not a good movie. I can't stand this movie. I enjoyed it when it first came out, and then when I started watching it again, I was like, this is terrible. I did like the sequels a little bit more because it's a lot fun, the first sequel. The second one was just, there's no redeeming value to that thing. The Revolutions, but the second one I thought was actually kind of fun because there was a lot of action scenes that were kind of fun, and they still kind of hold up. Mm. The effects in the second or the first one did not hold up.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of everybody using the red pill analogy. It's annoying.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I mean, I watched it. I too liked it when it first came out, and I think it's definitely a very overrated. It's a very overrated movie.
And it doesn't make sense. What's the point of the Matrix? Why do they even need the Matrix to begin with? They never explain that, you know. Why do they even have a dream sequence? Just use everybody's at batteries and let them be comatose and be done with it. Kimchi is word I can't say. Awesome, and it's great with soon tofu. And everybody had problems. Like some people who agree with me on the first one didn't agree with me on the second one because they think that like I'm just eating like a block of just curdled tofu. That's not the case. It's
okay.
Stew
I'm one of those people who took exception with that because I do like kimchi, but I don't like. I've tried tofu in a bunch of different forms and I haven't liked it in any of them.
Okay, so if you go to a Korean tofu house, okay, it's not like you expected like them to feed you a bunch of healthy junk, and it's. No, it's not. It's very unhealthy and fattening. And there's meat and stuff in it too. But what they do is they cook this stew, and when they bring it to you, it's still sizzling in the pot, and they'll crack an egg in it, so the sizzling pot will cook the egg while it's sitting in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it's really spicy. You can have a different spicy levels and put different stuff in it. And there's usually like pork in it too, but there's also like tofu in it, and the tofu has no flavor. It just absorbs whatever flavors that are in it, so it's really good, and it's just a really good source of protein, and it's delicious, and it's amazing, and it's great it's great if you put a little bit of kimchi in it. So it's not your typical thing, and everybody sees tofu and goes ew, but no,
okay,
give it a chance.
I actually was when you wrote that, because I didn't catch it the first time around. I thought it was, when I saw you write it, I thought it was a typo. Yeah. I'm like, soon tofu, what the heck is that? I have no idea. But then when you clarified, I was going to say, I don't know what that is. But yeah, okay.
I don't know what that is.
I'll give it a shot. I like spicy stuff and eggs. So, and all the other stuff sounds good. So, okay. I've tried it in different forms and I haven't liked anything yet. I haven't been like, oh, this is, I want to have it again type thing. But I'll give it a shot.
All right, so I was going to go through them because we're kind of running out of time.
Oh, yeah.
Snapchat filters are terrible, especially the dog ones. If I'm on a dating site and I see a girl and she even has one of those little puppy faces, nope. dislike. Valentine's Day is the best holiday ever. Anchovies are the best pizza topping.
No.
Gin is delicious. Oswald killed Kennedy and acted alone. The Residents are one of the greatest bands of all time. And salt is the best thing to put in coffee.
Oh, God, no. Butter and coconut oil over salt.
Yeah. Quick clarification. Like, Valentine's Day is only great for single people.
I've just hated it in general.
Yeah. I'll tell you during the break why. I'm not going to say it on radio.
Okay.
I'll leave that to Lycus. Listen to Lycus around Valentine's Day, and you'll find out why.
Lycus.
More when we come back from the extended market. Now with news.
When the final element is released, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all.
I guess I'll do the intro. I don't know the old one. This is the Freedom Fiends podcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level in intergalactic furry studios, where you alter your locus of release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sinful sadism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Heisen N-word.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Jim Jesus. And, of course, the Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT. No government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Yeah. So we went through this list of my top 10 things that are unpopular that I agree with. And you couldn't get into a lot of the explanations why, but whatever. We should talk about something else that's kind of important that happened today. I stubbed my toe. No. Yeah. There was an election happening today again in America lands.
Oh, yes. The Electoral College finally did its thing today, huh?
Yep. And Trump won even more than he was expected to.
Yeah.
With more electoral votes than... Even though there was this big push by the liberals, and they even had those... Okay, what is with these Hollywood actors? They every year, they produce at least one or two of these videos where it's a white background, and they show like a bunch of different celebrities, and they cycle through them, and they're always like, today, we're going to be doing something amazing, amazing, absolutely amazing. And it's always like repeating themselves and showing different people saying the same thing, right? So you don't have to vote for Hillary Clinton. Okay, we heard it the first time. You don't need to say it three other times or have three other people say it. It's so annoying, and they do it.
Well, of course,
they've been doing this thing since Obama, since I can remember, when they were doing the campaigns for Obama.
Yeah, that's the first time I remember it too.
Yeah,
but it may have happened before that. But no, they need to do it. It's that repetition. They want to pound that into your head. It's because it annoys people who actually have a brain. Other people whose brains are turned off most of the time. It just sinks in. Oh, okay. The pretty people said it's amazing, so it's got to be amazing.
I think most people, and this goes for me as well, most people see Hollywood celebrities telling them they should do stuff, and it makes me want to do the exact opposite of whatever it is they're doing. It's like, don't kill children. Don't kill children. Please don't kill children. It's like, you know what? Going to a school right now seems pretty tempting. Kicking a couple of these kids in the head.
Oh, man.
Just because it's exactly what they don't want me to do, because they're so horrible.
Well,
not really. Of course, I'm kidding.
I know you were kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope it's most people that think that way about the celebrities. Maybe I was just subjected to a larger than average number of the population who's enamored with celebrities growing up. Because there's just a lot of people in my life, like around me in general, not in my life, just, you know, the people I live near to, just always seem to be very wrapped up in, like, you know, the celebrity gossip and, like, who is doing what, and, like actually believe, you know, almost to the level, not like, you know, stalkerish, where they think they actually, like, you know, live in these people's lives, but close, like, you know. So I was surrounded by a lot of those people. Maybe I'm just jaded that way. I don't know. Hopefully most people do view these people as, you know, just who cares what they think. But
yeah, I mean, they had a big push for Hillary, like, right before the election. Mm-hmm. And of course, that didn't work. Everybody didn't vote. Everybody didn't listen. And rightfully so, because it's annoying. And I'm not saying I like Trump. I don't. I'm just saying, like, these campaigns are worthless. And so they did one where they were pushing. It was supposed to be directed toward the electors. I don't know why they released it to the public. They should just, you know, email it to the electors, right? Mm-hmm. Where they were saying, like, vote for anybody but Trump. You know, vote for anybody but Trump. You know, like, you don't have to vote for Hillary Clinton. And it's the same kind of white background, multiple celebrities saying the same thing. And Bob Odenkirk's in it. Man, what are you doing?
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah. And such respect for you, Bob. What happened?
And the point was to try to get them to vote for anybody but Donald Trump. Because, you know, Trump is literally Hitler, right? Vote your conscience. Literally Hitler. Like, I think he even has a little orange, Cheeto mustache going under his nose. And, of course, it didn't work. Because electors don't care about what celebrities think, right? And, but... Not only did it not work, I think it was kind of pathetic. Like, there was a couple of faithless electors. You said that someone voted for Bernie. Is that right?
I believe somebody.
Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders. And I also read that somebody tried to vote for him in Minnesota and was rejected. The state nullified his vote and put an alternate in his place. But I think you said you found at least one other place, and I think a couple other places it was being contested, but he may have gotten more than one. So he at least got one, may have gotten a couple.
Yeah. The old I know in there. Texas, yeah, in Texas they had one vote for John Kasich. I guess they were really enamored by how well this guy eats or crams food in his mouth. Because that's the only thing that I remember about John Kasich, is that he just kept eating all the time. Gross way of eating, by the way.
Interesting it came from Texas, not even somebody from Ohio. Not even from his own state.
And Ron Paul got an electoral vote. Ron Paul got an electoral vote. Do you know who didn't get an electoral vote, by the way?
No. Who didn't get a vote, Jim?
Gary Johnson did not get an electoral vote. And he was actually running, unlike Ron Paul.
So the Libertarian candidate, the one that had to be chosen because he was the electable one. He was the one who, him and his running mate, the two Republican former governors who had the best shot at getting the Libertarian Party to their 5%, or better than that.
Couldn't get a single electoral vote, but a guy who didn't run.
Guy who retired 4 years ago.
Got an electoral vote in Texas, thanks to a faithless elector who had to probably pay, like, what, $1,000 fee? So, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's like, you know, that's like one of the MVP writers, you know, deciding to spite everybody and vote for, like, you know, in the NBA, like voting for Jordan 1 year, you know, just be like, yeah. Nope, I'm giving it to Jordan this year. I know he hasn't played in a while, but he's still better than everybody else out there.
See, this is why I kind of agree with James Week on something. It's like, if they're going to go around and using the moniker Libertarian, and it's going to be a party like that, I should probably be involved to make sure that they don't start electing people like Johnson and Weld and Root.
Root.
Oh, my God. And who's the other guy? Bob Barr. One of the authors of the Patriot Act. Oh, don't worry. He had a change of heart.
Oh, yeah. Give
me a break. You had a change of heart because he didn't get elected. That's what happened. And you suck yourself for it. Where can I get easy ballot access? That's what it came down to.
Yeah. See, I was always, well, not always, because I was a member of the Libertarian Party and actually ran for local office at one point before I finally gave up. But I swore I was never going to go back. But the first time James made that argument when he came on my show, The Seeds of Liberty, and he made that argument.
Yeah, that's where I originally heard it.
Yeah, I was like, all right, you know what? I see. All right, you're convincing me. You're making a good point here. You're making a good argument, James. I got to give you that. Yeah. I'm still not sure I'm going to, but yeah, I see the reason to do so.
There was a great meme, and one of my friends posted it in the Libertarians for Nevada, which there are a lot was going there and talking to them. There were a lot of people who were starry-eyed about Gary Johnson. I was like, are you guys kidding me?
Were they newly minted Libertarians?
Probably, maybe. But the meme was, it had a picture of Mel Gibson in The Patriot. and it had Gary Johnson with his tongue hanging out from that interview. And it said, like, what I was expecting from the Libertarian Party and what I got. And there was a lot of people like, well, say what you want. He brought a lot of people into the Libertarian Party. And I was like, this is true. He brought me into the Libertarian Party to make sure that idiots like him don't get the nomination and make a mockery of the Libertarian name ever again. So thank you for that. It was just like, and there was one of the girls that actually ran for office here in the state Senate. She actually runs a podcast. It's a good podcast with horrible audio. And she was like, yep, I agree with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, you brought people to the party. You brought people out of retirement. That's what you did. You brought the anarchist out of retirement. And they're like, all right, you know what? You guys have you've had enough playtime. We're going to have to do something about this.
Yeah. If you thought James Weeks dancing around in your conference didn't give you much legitimacy after you elected a moron like that, there's probably going to be a whole lot more of that. A whole lot more of that kind of activism coming out of it, because I swear, if you nominate Wayne Allen Root, it's over. I don't think he likes Trump too much to run, but if you run someone like those people, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more. And there's a couple other people I talked to that were like, how do I become a delegate? Who has been asking me, like, how to become a delegate? It's like, I wasn't a delegate. Why are you asking me?
I have no idea.
I wasn't even in Orlando. I haven't been in Orlando since I was like 9. Why are you asking me? Like, I'm not the right person to ask. But yeah, there's a lot of people who have been asking around, how do I become a delegate so that I can make sure that this does not happen again? Because it was absolutely atrocious. Gary Johnson was such an embarrassment. And he's not a libertarian, right? Can we agree with that?
Of course he's not a libertarian. But I mean, yeah. I guess he was... Well, yeah, he was definitely worse this time around, but it wasn't like he was impressive 4 years ago either. Like, I remember when it
was he was a little bit better. He was a little bit better back then. Well, he was still a wet noodle.
Well, no, he was definitely wet noodle, but and his positions, he was still kind of like wishy-washy on most things. He just had a lot more of, like, I guess, like, more major, like, blunders and gaffes this time around. Like, you know, with the tongue thing and the Aleppo. I mean, although, again, the Aleppo thing was, I found that the funnier thing about the Aleppo thing for me was the next day when so many people were, like, chastising him, who you knew had to Google Aleppo to figure out what it was in the first place to make fun of him. So it's like, I had to look it up at first. I had no idea. I wasn't paying attention. So I didn't care that he didn't know that, but you know, but it's something to make fun of him for. And
I had to Google it, but only to remind myself, like,
once I heard that.
But here's the thing, I'm not running for president. These people who are looking, having to Google it, are not running for president. You know, they're not having to propose a national foreign policy in front of the entire world and explain how it's libertarian. If you would have gotten it, I think even Weld could have answered that question knowingly. Like, the guy has some foreign policy chops. Anybody else, you know, Ron Paul could have known that, you know, because he gets briefings.
Ron Paul, of course, he
gets briefings from people, you know, from Andy Ward. I'm guaranteed. You know, if you even looked at AndyWard.com, they talked about Aleppo.
Scott Horton and Ron Paul's right hand man, Danny McAdams, does a lot of stuff on this stuff too. So, you know, they got it covered.
Get some.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Thing seems kind of weird. Bearing the lead.
It was the Russians, man.
It was all the Russians.
Oh, wait a minute.
The Russians hacked the ambassador.
They hacked themselves.
So yeah, I guess there was a Russian ambassador to Turkey who was assassinated by this guy. And, you know, in typical internet fashion, the memesters didn't waste any time. And there's this iconic photo of him, the assassin, with his finger up, and he has his gun out, and he's, you know, yelling something, and, you know, the ambassador's dead behind him. And it kind of looks like he's doing a disco dance.
Yes.
So, like, everybody has been boasting this, like, the ambassador's dead, but disco isn't, you know, with a little disco ball and disco forever and all this great stuff. You know, because if we don't laugh, the terrorists win. Or, if we don't laugh, then disco wins. remember ABBA, et cetera. But I'm just kind of sitting here wondering, like, the guy was standing behind him the whole time while he was giving, like, this little speech or whatever, you know, and no one thought of anything. But then again, it's an ambassador, you know. Who's going to assassinate an ambassador, you know? It's an ambassador, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it does happen, but I guess it depends on, you know, if it's, like, the overall environment is more high stress, you know, and normally they have more protection and stuff like that. But if it was just a normal routine meeting, I'm sure, or, you know, just conference or whatever the guy was doing, I'm sure nobody thought anything of it. The guy's just, you know, watching.
Yeah, and he's wearing a very, very expensive suit. It looks like, you know, like a fashion designer, you know, type suit, like a Hugo Boss or something.
Yeah, so he blended in.
It was like an art gallery type thing. I don't know. It seems kind of fishy, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, who knows? Anything can happen. It's the world. It's in an area that I don't know about, so you know, that could be, like, the norm. You know, just people standing in the corner. You know, like, who is this guy? I don't know. Who knows? We'll just let him stand there behind someone.
Yeah, I don't
know. Who cares? It's just an ambassador anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I really, like I said, like I told you during the break, I actually learned of it. I learned of the assassination through one of the memes. Because I hadn't checked the news yet, and I saw one of the memes, and I'm like, what is this about? And then I had to go find a story to match it. I'm like, oh, okay, now it makes sense. Yeah. But and then the only other, one of the other headlines I caught was Putin blames the West for the ambassador, which I just thought was funny. Like, I don't know if he was doing it, like, tongue-in-cheek. Like, just, like, it's got to be the Americans.
Yeah, Putin does have, as much as I think he's a terrible dictator, but he's got a sense of humor on him. I remember there was, like, some, like, protesters, because he gets a lot of female protesters who, like, will write stuff on their bare chests and backs, and take their shirts off and start protesting him, and he'll you know, like, oh, you know, kind of gives thumbs up when he sees them topless. You know, but there was a meme that was floating around after this that said, like, what you guys having fried turkey for Christmas? Me too. So,
yeah,
I don't know, this seems all kind of funny, but in a terrible way. I shouldn't be laughing at it, but
no. Yeah, well,
here we are.
Well, because, yeah, unfortunately, and, you know, on that stage, you don't know what the ramifications are.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to wait for the for the next Scott Horton episode to come out. I'm sure he'll be talking about it. He'll have some information. I'll listen to his show. That's how I'll learn about it.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with it, but it's kind of weird with my podcast, my podcast catcher thing. It just shows up in blocks where, well, like, it'll come out for an entire month in just, like, one night. And I'm like, I can't go through all these, and then I forget to listen.
Is it just his, or is it other
shows? Just his.
I was having the same problem, and I think it's because he just switched. And he's mentioned it, too, that he's somehow the feed that most people have on their podcatchers is from anti-war. Sorry, he's now switching it to he's switching all his archives to the new project that he started up with Will Grigg and I can't remember who else, the Libertarian Institute. And so I think there's a new feed that you actually, because mine doesn't do it the month. Mine's like every 2 weeks it drops 2 weeks worth of episodes. So yeah, like
he does a lot of
stuff. Yeah, he does like six to eight interviews a week. He's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, he said he's done like, you know, how many thousand in the 10 plus years he's been doing this. So
yeah,
but it's valuable information.
Indeed. If you want to know about foreign policy, Scott Horton's the place to go. If you want to laugh at foreign policy, I'm the place to go. I'm the place to go. We're just sitting here like, a man died today, and we're sitting here making disco jokes about it.
Well, listen, as I say all the time, it's never too soon in the memeverse. So, you know, what are you going to do, man?
And I heard about this on the news, and they were just transcribing what he was saying, and he was saying, like, remember Aleppo, remember Aleppo. And the first thing that came to my head was, and what is Aleppo?
Oh, Johnson.
Gary Johnson had already forgot Aleppo.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So this is an article from The Blaze, which I guess is Glenn Beck's thing.
Yes.
It's his McGillicuddy.
The Beck Empire.
But it's a good one. It's a good one. It doesn't really, it's not very Glenn Becky, but that's a good thing. So this is the headline. None of the Hollywood celebrities who vow to leave America if Trump won have left the United States.
Surprise.
Yeah. None of the celebrities who vowed to move out of the United States if Donald Trump became president have followed through with their promise to do so, according to Heat Street. In the nearly 6 weeks following the president-elect Donald Trump's Election Day victory, only 28 Americans have applied to Trump-related refugee status to Canada, none of these appearing to be celebrities.
Wait. 28 people actually have done so for Trump-related reasons?
Well, they have applied
for Canadian citizenship.
But
28 people have actually applied for Trump-related reasons. I just want to make sure okay.
So 28 Americans have applied for, quote, Trump-related refugee status, unquote, to Canada. Just let that sink in. Among those who said they would leave are Bryan Cranston, Rosie O'Donnell. Oh man, Bryan Cranston, really? Rosie O'Donnell, Jon Stewart, Whoopi Goldberg. Did Jon Stewart really do this?
I guess so.
Or did he? Or what? Probably may have been a joke. He seems like that would be his ideal situation, at least for his successor, would be for them to have like an easy street for the next 4 years of easy news to do. Would be Goldberg, Miley Cyrus, Amy Schumer, Cher, Samuel Jackson, Lena Dunham, Barbara Streisand, and Raven Simone.
Yes, well,
and others.
Yeah, I was gonna click on that. Who are the others? Well,
Eddie Griffin, Natasha Lyonne, Spike Lee, Samuel L. Jackson, George Lopez, Barbara Streisand.
Jackson's on it twice because he's on the other list. Oh, this is the whole list, I guess. Now,
so, yeah. So it's kind of mixed up.
Al Sharpton,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah, good luck with that one, lady. Katie Hopkins. Who is that? I don't know. I don't know who that is. Al Sharpton.
I don't know
who Chloe Savini. Actress and guest star in Portlandia. That's an amazing IDB credit right there. I was a guest star on a TV show once. Keegan-Michael Key, which I don't understand. He did probably one of the best related Trump skits ever, which was the Black Jeopardy. If you haven't seen the SNL skit Black Jeopardy, write this down so after the show you can listen to it. But continue listening to the show because we're more important. But it's like the best thing that SNL has ever done. And it's actually kind of complimentary to Trump, or at least Trump supporters. Lena Dunham, Barry Diller. I don't know who that is. Founder of IAC. Is that a really celebrity if I don't know who it is? Nev Campbell.
Oh.
Is she still relevant?
I didn't think so. I hadn't thought about her in quite a while. So
no. Yeah. So going back to the Blaze article, none of them had followed through with their several, though several have said following Trump's election to the White House that they were simply joking when they made their vow. Okay. I can believe that Jon Stewart was joking. I can do that because he's a comedian and he likes to joke about kind of weird things like that. I've seen him joke about things like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly a joke. But the other ones, no. Bryan Cranston, no. Rosie O'Donnell,
Cranston's the only one that's disappointing to me. The other ones all are pretty much expected. Even, unfortunately, Samuel L. Jackson, as much as I love him in most of his roles, he's been a raging, liberal for the longest time. So I expect that out of him. Cranston makes me sad, but,
Raven, that was a surprising one.
That's what I'm saying. Most of the people, I'm reading the list, and I'm like, okay, yeah, makes sense. And I don't care if they leave or not, whatever.
And Amy Schumer can't leave because she's going to be playing Barbie.
Oh God!
Did you hear about this?
No, really.
She's been cast to play Barbie in a new film about Barbie.
Great.
I don't know. And then, of course, if you say anything about that, you're just fat shaming people. That's just not right. This it's all about body positivity. Like, no. Nothing about your body is positive.
She really is a horrible, horrible, horrible human being.
Yeah,
I was never a fan of her to begin with, and she just made herself worse in my eyes over the years.
You can sum up all of her jokes in one word: vagina. if you want a more clarification, slut. That's all she is. Like, everything is like, oh, I just had so much sex the other day. It was just sex everywhere. I couldn't stop having sex. And then, of course, when someone makes a sex joke about the fact that she makes sex jokes about her,
stop shaming me.
She gets offended. Yeah, like, you're slut shaming. It's like, that's the whole point. Like, you make jokes about how you're a loose woman, like you're a fun time gal, right? And then someone makes a joke about how you're a fun time gal because they're a fan of yours, and then you make fun of them. It's like, what are you doing?
It's only okay when I do it, Jim.
Of course, it's only okay when I do it. And they're not funny. She's never been funny. It's never been. And I have heard female comedians do the kind of I'm a loose woman routine, and it's been good. Like, Lisa Lampanelli was really good at
that. Lisa Lampanelli was hysterical.
Yeah.
She did when that was her whole routine. Like, yeah, definitely. I found her funny, yeah. And I never found Schumer funny either. I always thought she was obnoxious. And, of course, once I found out she was related to Chucky, that just brought her down even further.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, who is probably the best senator of all time. Oh. Kidding. Oh. Kidding. Kidding. Like, probably the worst ever. For our senator here in Nevada. Our senator is probably be worse, and that's Harry Reid.
Oh, yeah.
But second to Harry Reid would be Chuck Schumer, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Schumer's a horrible.
So we're representing states. We're the fewer senators of all time. Really? Probably all time.
Yeah, they definitely have to be up there. And, I mean, that's including people like, what's his name, Byrd, who is an actual KKK member. Like, these people are worse.
It went on TV and was complaining about white N-words.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me? Oh, that was just a term I used from my olden days. It's like, you were in the KKK.
Oh, you know, I don't do that anymore. Reed. What was that nickname for him? There was a conservative radio host out of San Diego I used to listen to that. Oh, we call them the Lizard of Las Vegas. that was his name for Harry Reid, and I thought that was awesome.
Is he a lounge lizard?
Yeah.
That would just see a lot of. The lounge lizard of the center.
What was that game? Was it Larry the Lounge Lizard?
Was no, it was Leisure Suit Larry.
Leisure Suit, that's what it was.
Yeah. Leisure Suit Larry.
I remember that game. That was my introduction to
various
so many
STDs.
Things. I think like 11, 12 years old when me and my friends found that game. That was my introduction to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And you know what they had the best when it comes to, like, because everything has always been, are you 18? Click yes or no.
Yeah.
Enter your birth date. And anyone who is underage could easily fake that, right? They just click yes, or, you know, they'll be like, oh, my dad was born in 50, so 1950, there you go. But what they did is they said, like, are you 18? Well, prove it. And they'll be like, who was the president in this year? They'd ask them questions that only, like, older people would know. And yeah. Then you can get in. I thought that was clever and annoying because I was like, I don't know these.
Yeah, which is so funny because that, you know, obviously wouldn't fly now with the internet. But yeah, back then when you couldn't readily find this information, it's like, how do I, I don't know. Do we guess?
Eventually,
anybody have a guess? Yeah.
Or sometimes you'd start, like, you know, bringing it up in polite conversations with your parents, like, yeah. So, what was the thing that took place in early administration of Hitler? Kristallnacht. Okay, thank you. Just reasons. Don't worry about it.
Just reasons.
About 2 weeks asking all these questions, you'll finally get all the answers. get in, and then you can play Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
But yeah, Harry Reid was absolutely terrible. But wasn't it? I don't know if it's true or not. I heard, so that probably means it's not because of all the, you know, fake news going on or whatever. But I heard that, like, his alleged slip and fall in the shower or dancing or whatever didn't actually happen like that. It was, he was actually, like, punched by his brother Larry or something like that. Was
really?
That true?
I have no idea.
I heard that was true.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, that it was just a lie. Like, oh, I slipped and fell, but really it was his brother Larry. That punched him. I
had enough of you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man. You know what? It's a horrible... Well, I guess he kind of deserves it now at this point, but parents that do that, that Larry and Harry, the rhyming names, that borders on child abuse.
Like, I was actually thinking about that just now. I was like, should I mention that?
I have twins, so you know what? I'm allowed to talk about stuff like this. So, like, because people wanted us to do that with my girls, and I was like, no, I don't want that cutesy, rhymy stuff. Because seriously, like, to me, like, borders, like, why are you punishing your children like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah.
Okay. So here we go. On January 1st, 2015, of course, January 1st, New Year's Day, right?
Oh, yep. There you
Reid
go.
Was injured while exercising in his home, made of a piece of equipment when he broke, causing him to fall. As a result, Harry Reid suffered from broken ribs. On January 26th, he went under surgery. Yeah, there's nothing in here. So I don't know. This is from Wikipedia.
He got broken ribs, too. That'd be really funny if his brother whooped his butt.
Yeah,
didn't just punch him.
But yeah. if it was even remotely true or even majorly rumored, mm-hmm. I think that would have at least been in there. Like, it has been rumored at least.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's been rumored by some conservative fake news websites that it was his Larry, brother Larry. At least that would have been in there, but it seems not to be. So I don't know. Mm. That would have been hilarious.
It would be. Yeah.
Larry beats up Harry.
Yeah, they get no, you know, drunken argument on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's what. Well, why? Yeah, exactly. It's New Year's Day. I think he might have been drinking, at least drinking while he was exercising or something, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But
he's going to be leaving, so he's leaving the Senate. So we're going to have to elect some other jerk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it can't be as bad, right? Because whoever it is isn't going to have the clout that Reid did, you know, for wasn't he the majority or the minority leader or whatever, for
one of those things. Well, I think he was probably both.
Yeah, whenever it's,
yeah. Governments suck, and they're the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
the suckiest of the suckiest.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
I think we need to do some Christmas redemption here.
Christmas redemption?
Yeah.
Christmas.
You hate Christmas?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't like to sit by a warm fire and watch Die Hard?
No.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't think anybody really does. Everybody says they do, but they never do. I don't think they do.
I do like Die Hard. I don't.
Oh, Die Hard's a wonderful film, but it's not a Christmas movie.
This is true.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So is there a Christmas movie that you do like?
Well, yes, I like. Well, because to me the Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie, but the Ref is. So I like the Ref. The Ref is my Christmas movie.
I've yet to see that. I might have to see if there's a Linux ISO of that somewhere. Yeah.
It should be on Netflix, and it is on. I think it's on Prime right now. I might be wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, I have Prime.
I may be wrong about that, but if it is, there should. I'm pretty sure there's one of those.
And that has what is it? Louis C.K. alleges is a plagiarist.
Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary, there you go. So, yeah, and what is that about exactly?
It takes place on Christmas, but he's a petty thief, a jewel thief, and hilarity ensues when he gets caught and has to kidnap family and try to make his escape,
Yeah, so I guess it's almost like Bad Santa, which is probably my favorite Christmas movie of all time. I don't go through the Christmas season ever. I don't think since I've been aware of this film, there hasn't been a Christmas season where I have not watched this movie. I've owned it on DVD, and now I own it on Blu-ray. It's fantastic, and it's about a mall Santa who moonlights as a safe cracker, was it box jockey? I think was the right term. And him and his vertically challenged cohort go and rob the mall that they are the mall Santa of on Christmas night while everybody's at home, and then they leave without getting busted, and they almost get caught, and stuff ensues. I guess hilarity ensues is also the right word too. But he also finds the Christmas spirit. He finds the Christmas spirit through the help of a small child, weird kid, probably the weirdest kid in the universe, maybe. but he does teach him the value of giving and the Christmas spirit. So fantastic one. Yeah, what was another good Christmas movie? Big fan. Batman Returns. No, that's not also. That's also not a Christmas movie. I don't think anybody watches that around Christmas.
I guess when I was younger, obviously, there's certain movies I watched, but for the most part, there's never been any movie that I, even The Ref, which I love, I don't necessarily have to watch any of them around that time. So Yeah. I don't have any Christmas movie, but I'm trying to think. Like most people just watch like the classics, I guess. It's a Wonderful Life and all that stuff.
Which are all great. It's A Christmas Story. That's a great one too.
Yes, Christmas Story.
Anybody who doesn't like The Christmas Story is wrong.
This is objectively true.
Objectively true.
Yes.
But there's also some other movies that aren't Christmas movies, and I think the definition should be clear. The movie should be about the magic or the spirit of Christmas, right? This at least the plot should center around that. Die Hard does not meet that qualification. Trading Places does not meet that qualification. Jingle All the Way does not meet that qualification. Even though they all kind of take place, and there's a lot of imagery around it. Batman Returns, again, not a Christmas movie.
Wait, I forget that. Wasn't Jingle All the Way, what was Jingle All the Way? Was that the...
Jingle All the Way was about a guy who was out to get his son.
Oh, the Schwarzenegger. The Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, the Turbo Man.
Wasn't that about getting him the Christmas toy, though? Wasn't that the heart?
No, it was about consumerism.
Oh, okay.
They didn't learn anything about Christmas or the Christmas spirit. Because he ended up getting
I never watched it yet, so I don't know.
I'm just going by it. I refuse to watch it out of principle. Because it's allegedly not a Christmas movie. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the original Dr. Seuss one, not a Christmas movie. And there's a good reason why. Because it's just not a movie. It's a Christmas special. It's a TV special. Same with Charlie Brown's Christmas. It's not a movie.
This is true. Like the original.
It's like 30 minutes. It's a short.
This is true.
They're great.
Worms.
Worms.